The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
So on WTK.com, the Michigan Insider YouTube channel, Facebook Live, and Twitter, we are on several video platforms, and a lot of the comments are coming through. I think that, which one? I think it was Brian who said no more 335. You have some co-signers in the comment section, Mr. Cook.
I think that was Seth, actually.
That was Seth.
Hey, you got some co-signers, Seth. Let's kind of extrapolate from this game. It is just one game, but I think we saw some very promising things in all phases except special teams. Special teams when it wasn't Michael Barrett doing something or Haskins doing something fantastic, right? A lot to be desired in some of the other instances. But looking ahead, does your outlook, is it different now? I mean, is your ceiling for this team different based on what you saw in number one?
Yeah, and I think the main thing is that everybody from people on Twitter to Jim Harbaugh in the aftermath of that game were talking about how cool Joe Milton is. Not just in terms of like, you know, he's out there and he's confident and he's doing the things he's been asked to do, but he's just cool. Like he's 6'5" Fonzie, you know, he's just gets out there and you look at him and you're like, we can do something with this guy. Very reassuring type of gentleman.
Yeah. I think the poise, that part of it, the leadership, the command of the scheme and the team, those were the final selling points for Joe Milton being the quarterback. I mean, I think that they had seen the physical and mechanical improvements, but I think to get Harbaugh to think that, all right, this is the guy, because you know the intangible pieces that I'm talking about right now, you know Dylan McCaffrey has those. Command of the scheme and the team, the presence, that's kind of like bred into him coming in the door, right? So did Joe have that? And I think showing that in the offseason, they could really see it in practice that, man, this guy, I mean, the guys on the team, they really rallied around him. He really has command of this offense. And you can kind of see just him be this sort of unflappable guy. You got a hard charging defense. You might be moving a football on them, but every now and then, Aiden Hutchinson, Quiddy Pay, they're bearing down on you. He's standing in the pocket delivering the pass. He gets hit. He gets up. Next play. You know, and so that kind of thing, I think, is really spoken to the team and certainly to the coaches.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I was thinking, well, I don't know, this is a 4-4 team, a 5-3 team. Maybe Sam is right that this is just an exhibition season. And, or you said something like that, not exactly that. And, but now I'm thinking, you know, this team could go 7-0 and then get COVID and tie with Ohio State. We claim we got three guys, you know, our mascot, our backup kicker, they got COVID. We're not playing you guys. We're tied. We win. We win. That's
like
my
Wisconsin
theory.
Did to duck Nebraska this week.
Yeah, they're ducking Nebraska. So, but yeah, seriously, I mean, I didn't know what we were getting out of Joe Milton. I didn't know what we were getting out of the offensive line. I mean, there was positive rumors, of course, but you always hear positive rumors or negative rumors. And so, yeah, I was very, very pleased. And now I'm thinking, yeah, this is a plausible team. This is a team that has, on offense for sure, has the parts that you could really, this team could do something. Defense, I'm still not sure.
So is this a team that doesn't eviscerate Michigan State?
Well, I mean, Rutgers came pretty close to eviscerating Michigan State. So,
and I haven't published the articles yet, but I've got all my scouting done on that. And I did the full scout. I did the full, like, watched every single play and basically UFR'd both the offense and defense of that game. And I'm happy to report that Rutgers is still very much Rutgers and does all the Rutgers things that Rutgers does. So I do not believe, except for maybe their defensive tackles, that this is a case of, you know, Rutgers all of a sudden hulked up and Michigan State just wasn't expecting it. They're bad, and they're especially bad on offense. And, yeah, guys, this is The other thing is Michigan State's not a quarters team anymore. They spent all game in a cover one with their free safety playing in the parking lot. So it's a new era at Michigan State.
You know, the interesting thing there to me was I agree with you, Seth. I watched the game twice, and I think that the Rutgers defensive tackles were excellent, especially the Turner kid.
Really?
And Mike Dwumfor had a good game, in my opinion, and he was much more under control than when we saw him in Ann Arbor. I mean, he was able to beat his guys, but didn't go crazy and shoot past the play. You know, Mike Dwumfor had a good game, and the other guy's an NFL player. I think his name is Turner or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, they've got.
Have you seen this Turner against anyone except Michigan State?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, Michigan State, I don't think was quite as bad as the reviews. I mean, their run game was okay. They ran 39 times for 50 yards. I guess that's bad, especially against Rutgers. But but they did pass it some. I felt that, Rocky Lombardi has improved a bit. I mean, last year it looked like he was throwing a cannonball when he went to throw it. You know, this year he doesn't look quite so labored throwing the ball. He has a couple of good wide receivers. They have an okay freshman running back. I mean, I don't think they're that terrible. And it would be a mistake for certain for Michigan to look past them. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad to hear that Seth thinks that Rutgers is the same old meatball Rutgers we've always
seen. I did give credit to the defensive tackles. And if you go back to my faux film on Rutgers last year, I was giving credit to the defensive tackles last year too. That guy's decent. Okay. That guy's legit. Yeah. Michigan State probably didn't scout them because that's what Rutgers does. Rutgers gets upfield with their defensive tackles like blitz balls. And I kind of disagree with you on Dwumfor. I thought he had a great game, but he had a great game in a very Mike Dwumfor style where he just shoots upfield all the time, regardless. And Michigan State is running pin and pull and trying to get the edge on those plays, which is like, we've seen pin and pull how often, right? We've seen how many times has Michigan run that play? And you know that, like, okay, sometimes if they don't set an edge, then you turn them and you go, like that's what happened against Illinois last year. Mm-hmm. But that's not what you're looking for. You're looking to kick that guy out and then run inside of him. And Michigan State, even when they kicked him out, they were trying to run outside of him. And then they bench Eliza Collins and run this freshman who only looked good because he got lucky into having like the two plays that Michigan State blocked well. And then one of the plays that they blocked well, he screws up. He actually runs outside of that pin and pull. I thought that Michigan State looked vastly worse coached than they did last year on offense. And I think that they've made a huge mistake with Jay Johnson. And I think because of COVID and because they had a COVID outbreak, so they actually got less practice time than other teams and the new staff and everything else that's going on, there's enough excuse to keep him around for a couple of years where he might be just maybe the worst offense coordinator we've ever watched.
I think that's a little bit hasty. I mean, Mick McCall was at Northwestern for 75 years until just recently, and that was terrible. I think, you know, you're not going to have him have seven turnovers, and right. Craig is right that Rocky Lombardi is much improved, but he was a guy who completed 46% of his passes last year, so he had to be much improved to even get to bad. But that offensive line is – still their offensive line from last year and the year before. And it reminds me of the hole Michigan got stuck in for about 6 or 7 years where they just couldn't find enough guys to field a competent offensive line. And they're running a whoever out, like Dobbs isn't playing and he's like their big recruit. Like Allen's decent at center, but the guys around him,
he's not. Allen's terrible.
Right, Allen well, I guess is he's awful. Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, did Allen even play in that game?
Allen played, and there were times when I was like, "Oh my God, dude, are you trying to lose here?" He made that's not even putting all the line calls on him. If you add like all their missed assignments onto him too, he was bad, and like it's worse than they were last year. I've scouted this team every year, and you know they've had some terrible offensive lines, progressively worse every year, and this is the worst I've seen yet.
So I'm curious about a couple of things. Number one, what was the deal with Elijah Collins? Number one. And then number two, I just think you know what Rocky Lombardi is. And Rocky Lombardi can't beat Rutgers. If Rocky Lombardi can't beat Rutgers, what is the use in playing him? I think Theo Day is the better talent. If you're going to lose getting your better guy, your better talent, your higher ceiling guy, some experience as far as I'm concerned.
I think that Rocky Lombardi is decent for what they're doing. They have to get the ball out of there right away, and he's better at that. They really got to stop the sight reads because they try to do that. Craig, I still call him that because of your book from years ago with when you sat in with Chad Henne and whatnot. But Michigan State's running those like stuff out of the air raid offense to try to like just get the ball out of there quickly. And he and his receivers weren't on the same page. Other than that, Rocky Lombardi like saved a few plays by having good pocket presence. Plays where like I've seen Michigan quarterbacks take sacks a gazillion times. And you know, he's the guy I think you want in there. One, because he's gonna get the ball out quickly and he's cool and he's played pretty decently. And two, whoever's back there is gonna get killed. And Theo Day has, you know, a little bit of eligibility left where you can maybe plausibly build a new offensive line because Lombardi's going to be ruined. And probably by the end of this game, he was getting ruined.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to find some nervousness or trepidation about this game, and I'm having a hard time. I'm having a really, really, really hard time thinking this is going to be anything other than an absolute bloodletting. And if you're Jim Harbaugh, you know anything about Jim Harbaugh, if he's up 70, he's throwing up 70. This is not taking a knee. This is not we're working on the running attack. They are going to pile it on if they can. Now, that's if they can. But I just nothing I've heard from Michigan State or seen. I didn't watch the game in its entirety, just, you know, here and there. I think that this is a team whose identity has completely shifted. And you talked about defensively, I don't know that the Mel Tucker sort of vinegar that he's trying to spread over this thing is enough to bridge how wide a gap this is. This is just D'Antonio left the cupboard completely bare. I mean, he gutted that program on the way out. No amount of leaving Michigan out of the commentary is going to rile the guys up enough to bridge that gap, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was stunned watching their defense. I mean, they lost 8 guys who had a combined 262 starts, but I still expected to see some ability behind it. And outside of maybe Noah Harvey and Antoine Simmons and maybe Julian Barnett, I didn't see much on that defense at all that looked plausible. I mean, so you're right. When D'Antonio left, he didn't leave Mel Tucker with a lot, especially, well, maybe in the whole team, but the defense, I was surprised by how inert they were. Now, yeah,
Barnett was on special teams. He didn't even play. He didn't even start.
He didn't even play.
No, he wasn't even out there playing on defense. I think he played a couple snaps in special teams, and that was it.
So maybe he's hurt or something. I don't know, but you would assume he would be playing. But the, you know, they did not look good. And unless Rutgers is a lot better than I thought, or unless Michigan State can somehow put together some sort of superhuman, you know, effort to just say, okay, you know, we're just going to be crazy in this game. It wouldn't surprise me to see them say, okay, we ain't punting. We're just going to run 4 plays and we're going to run every crazy thing we can think of. It wouldn't surprise me to see them come out and play that way and see, okay, what can happen out of this? They may lose by 70. That's true. But I'm not so sure. I have a hunch that this game may be a bit more competitive than people are thinking.
Craig,
I didn't say they'd win.
Is you're leaning on past trauma. That's all that is. You got PTSD with Michigan State. This is a different dynamic than when D'Antonio took over, even when Saban took over. I mean, this is a program that, from a talent standpoint, I just and we could see it in, Brian, we've talked about this in the past. You could see it in the recruiting trends the last couple of years of D'Antonio. I mean, they don't have the guys is the point. The guys they had the years before, and he was very fortunate. I give him credit for being able to build up the talent on that roster, recruiting Ohio well, and then beating the early years of Rich Rodriguez, winning Michigan and winning it by a landslide. And they built up the talent in that program. But over the last 3-4 years, I mean, they start losing Ohio guys to Cincinnati.
I mean, Kentucky.
And Michigan guys to Kentucky. So the guys that were winning them those games aren't playing here anymore. You see Kentucky winning games. You see in Cincinnati winning games. Those guys played for Michigan State 5 years ago. They aren't playing for Michigan State right now. And that, to me, is the point. Like, you don't have the horses to get this done. It would take Michigan. It would, for Michigan to lose this game, Michigan has to beat Michigan, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Like,
yeah, I agree.
I mean, how are they going to move the ball if Michigan has a bust? How is Michigan going to get stopped? Well, if Michigan throws it into coverage or whatever. But the thing is, like, they kept that entire defensive staff, and then they changed the defense. Like, they used to have a system, and that system got poked holes in kind of later in D'Antonio's regime, but they were still able to make a functional linebacking core out of spare parts. And now they've changed it up entirely. And so you had an opportunity to have continuity on one side of the ball, and you threw it away so that Mel Tucker could implement his defense, which made Colorado worse last year. So I don't think that was a good choice.
Michael Lent, don't be over. First of all, I don't think fans' confidence has any impact on the game. I'm talking about responding to some of the YouTube comments. Michigan State is literally doo-doo on a stick. I had a whole piece about this the other day. They are a terrible football team that should question their worth on the field on Saturday. After you lose to Rutgers, do you really deserve to be on the field? Should you just take a pass the rest of the season? Who can you beat if you can't beat Rutgers? Why even play? Why play the game? There's no redeeming quality. You're just out there to have fun. You aren't out there to win. You know, you're out there to pay for classes. That's it. Not to win if you can't beat Rutgers. You have no hope if you can't beat Rutgers, is my point. So you don't want me to be overconfident, Mike. Too late. Too late. that ship has sailed, man. It would take, and it's possible, an act of the football gods for Michigan not to win this game on Saturday.
Which we've never seen in this series before. That's not at all alarming.
Okay, it would take multiple acts of the football gods, multiple acts of the football gods for Michigan to lose this game, as far as I'm concerned. This should be a complete and utter destruction of a team that just is hapless right now.
I'm taking the points. That rant has convinced me to take the points, because they're not going to win this game, but the bad juju that Sam Webb just put on this game, I'm taking the points.
Hey, I take a look, man. I'm just telling you, you look at the offense. Tell me if you feel like this. In this day and age, and I asked you this question a couple of weeks ago, guys, talking about this day and age of college football, how do you win games? And it struck me hearing Nick Saban say, you don't win with defense. In today's college football, Nick freaking Saban said that. You got to put points up on the board. You got to be able to score and score and score again. And we just watched Michigan go on 10 straight drives, where it was either a touchdown or a field goal. And it wasn't a fluke. I mean, the offense, we talked about the plan they had that was rolling. It's coherent. You got a quarterback that can execute. You got receivers that we didn't even see. Did we see AJ Henning maybe, but for 2 or 3 plays the whole game? I mean, there are elements to this that we haven't seen yet that we're going to see that Michigan State. I mean, good luck. Good luck. There's so much that they didn't show last week, guys, that they could unleash on this team. I just – Michigan scores 50 in this game. Michigan scores 50 in this game. They score 50 in this game, guys.
I'm just always wary of –
38, Rutgers. Craig, you need some help. Listen,
I'm just wary of a cornered dog.
Listen to me. Rutgers just scored 38 on Michigan State.
Seven turnovers.
Rutgers.
Eight, actually. One.
Rutgers had, what, four turnovers themselves? Three. Like, the turnover disparity was not crazy.
It was 7-3, actually eight. One got overturned by a penalty.
This Rutgers offense scored a
grand total. That's not a turnover.
They scored a grand total of 67 points on FBS teams last year. 67, this Rutgers offense. And they scored 38 on Michigan State. Come on.
You know, I do think Michigan State is in for a dead cat bounce. So they're gonna have their dead cat bounce. They're going to lose by 24. And then the Maryland-Michigan State game is for the bid to the Loser's Bowl in the Big Ten.
That's right.
I'm going to watch that.
I agree. I will be watching that because the loser of that game gets Illinois, probably. Or maybe Wisconsin, if Wisconsin only plays one game. I don't know what happens then. If Wisconsin goes 1-0, do they play the ninth place game regardless? I have no idea.
No, no. Bloodletting. Let's make it happen. Guys, fellas, this is an absolute blast. The roundtable is on another level. Folks, if you missed any of it, you can always check it out on our YouTube channel. Of course, we're going to be back this way next week. Always fun. Be sure to check the fellas out over on MGO blog. We'll be back tomorrow with 12 hours of Michigan football on our fantastic Friday. Lots of great guests, so be sure to tune in. That's going to do it for us on this edition of the Michigan Insider MGO blog roundtable. Thanks for listening on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor Accumulus Station.